This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thank you so much for being with us today. Yesterday on the show, we heard about heart failure as a public health concern. We mentioned a few statistics at the top of the show. We ought to clarify that they referred more generally to heart disease rather than heart failure. That said, heart failure itself is becoming more common as our population ages. And as we heard in yesterday's interview, while medicinal treatments help many heart failure patients, surgical intervention is often required as well. Dr. Robert Love is a heart transplant surgeon at Froedtert and the Medical College of Wisconsin. He's treated scores of patients performing transplants and also mechanical implants, such as total heart replacements. We'll hear about that unique case later in the interview. But first, he tells Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce why mechanical implants are on the rise as a treatment option for heart failure.
The number of heart transplants available has plateaued. And frankly, we're having fewer and fewer younger donors. We're having more and more older donors. As we get older, none of us get better for the most part, except maybe some people in Hollywood. And therefore, there's more wrong with the donors that come along. And a lot more of the hearts that are offered for transplant are simply not suitable to be transplanted. So the era of mechanical circulatory support is really here, and it's a good thing because, hundreds of thousands of people die every year from heart failure, and instead of heart transplant being the only alternative to medical therapy, we do have another temporizing device that can get people quality of life, longevity of life, and the ability to get a transplant.
I want to have you talk a little bit about the evolution of treating heart failure, from a surgical perspective. How has the technology improved? Where do we still need to go yet?
The story of the treatment of heart failure with mechanical devices goes back to at least the 1960s and really even into the 1930s. People like Charles Lindbergh were involved in developing an artificial heart pump. Really became possible to begin the work in the 1960s. We've gone from pumps that had to be outside the body to finally implantable pumps. The first one really started in wider use in the beginning of this decade, so in the early 2000s. So what we're heading for is increased miniaturization, I think better technology. Again, it's an unnatural thing to have a man-made device inside your heart. So there are certain limitations that we run up against just because we're not replacing the tissue failure with an organ that actually works, which would be the ideal. But we're making huge progress.
Tell us about the unique case of Kathleen Shores, who received a total heart replacement. What is that?
Right. Well, Kathleen is an individual who came in with the type of heart failure where both the right and left sides of the heart failed at the same time. So for most cases, we're treating left-sided heart failure, which the most common cause is blood vessel problems, coronary artery disease, which is very common. It's a very highly lethal disease in this country, in the Western world, and in some cases leads to heart failure. So most of the patients that come in for heart failure treatment and are treated medically or get mechanical circulatory support of some kind, just need treatment of the left side. And if the left side gets better, the right side can also improve. In Kathleen's case, by the time she really got to full treatment, her disease had progressed from primarily left-sided disease to both right and left-sided disease, and she was in shock in the ICU, refractory to any medical therapy, and neither the right or the left could respond to the medical therapies that we were able to offer. Additionally, she's quite small. She's a little lady, and the mechanical devices that we have are designed for bigger people. They're just still pretty bulky. We don't have an implantable device that will allow you to keep your native heart and put something in for the right side and the left side that actually is all inside the body. We do have an old device that sits outside the body where the pumps actually sit on the chest and abdomen, but people can't really go home with those things. They're very limited in their ability to exercise or not be tethered to the hospital. And then anything that sticks out of your body can get infected. And the more things that drive lines and things that come out of your body, the more chances there are for infection. So in Kathleen's case, she had to have a device that treated both the right and the left at the same time. In her case, there was only one device, and that's the total artificial heart, which is what we implanted in her in November. And that device required both the right and left sides of the heart to be removed, and then a mechanical device sewn onto the remnant of her right and left hearts and then plugged into the blood vessels leading out of each. So about as big an operation as one can do, complete removal of the heart and replacement with mechanical pumps, which is what she has.
This is some pretty amazing technology. Was this option even available a few years ago?
Well, this technology has been getting better over time. So there have been artificial hearts like this available since the 90s. The problem was that the results have been dismal. Patients have had bleeding complications. The technical abilities of these pumps to actually work reliably every heartbeat, because this is something that has to work every time. It can't decide for a couple of minutes to take a rest and recharge itself. Our ability to have the technology catch up with the need is really only recently coming to the forefront. So what Kathleen had is an unusual type of mechanical circulatory support. There are only maybe 100 people who have been home out of the hospital with the Freedom Driver in the U.S., and so she's experiencing territory that very few people have experienced.
What kind of challenge does that present to you as a surgeon as you're working with the patient?
Well, as far as the surgery goes, when you cut out somebody's heart, you can't fix it. You got to fix it with a mechanical device, and it's got to work or the patient will die. So Kathleen, when we were done explanting the heart and basically throwing it away, there's no way to put it back, then the pump has to get sewn in. It has to get sewn in technically perfectly, and this is like plastic being sewn to human tissue. So it has a very high rate of bleeding, and in fact, Kathleen did have some bleeding episodes for which she had to go back to the operating room, and there were many days early on where it was very tough for her. She was back in the operating room for some bleeding problems because she had to be anticoagulated. You have to be fully anticoagulated. This is a pump, one for the right side, one for the left side, and it has four mechanical valves in it. And these mechanical valves, if you're not completely on anticoagulation with your blood thinned, they will clot off and the pump will fail, or clot will form inside the pump and the pump will just push the clot out to the brain or to some other organ, it'll be a disaster. So the one thing about these cases is if you're going to embark on this and the patient is going to be willing to go for it, go forward with this therapy, there's no turning back. It has to work, and you go to the operating room understanding that you're going to do something that's completely irreversible, and it has to go perfectly.
In Kathleen's case, it sounds like it went pretty much as well as one could expect given the risk of it.
Yeah, the operation went as well as could be expected. These patients who have total artificial hearts have a high rate of return to the operating room for bleeding, not just immediately within the first week, but afterwards. And I think the average experience would be patients return to the OR about 5 times for every one of these devices put in. I'm not sure how many times we've reoperated on Kathleen, but it's probably about that. So the way she looks today and feels today, she's put in a lot of hard work and been through a lot to get there. And it's nice to see her, you know, doing as well as she is this many months out, you know, approaching a year out now.
How many of these surgeries, given how rare they are, like Kathleen's with the total heart replacement, have you done personally?
This is the only total artificial heart I've done. I've done many of the other kinds of devices, but we try to avoid using this device whenever possible and put in a left-sided device, keep the heart in place, and medically treat the right side. And if you catch patients in their course of heart failure early enough, you usually can get away with a pump on the left side and maybe a temporary pump on the right side. In her case, again, because of her size and also the fact that the right and left were equally, you know, essentially dead, they were not going to come back, this was the only choice. But this device would be really the fallback when there is nothing else that can be done and there's no other device that would work. It's a great device, but it's not something that we would be our first choice for mechanical circulatory support.
How did you even approach Kathleen with this? I would imagine as a surgeon trying to help a patient understand exactly what's going to happen, exactly what the risks are, the rarity of the surgery, that's a difficult conversation to have.
Yes, I remember that conversation pretty well up in the ICU. I mean, Kathleen was in shock, I mean, physiologic shock. So she looked gray. She couldn't think very well. She couldn't, she was much more cloudy mentally. Much more anxious. She knew she was dying. I mean, she had that sense that she was dying. Over a period of about a week, our conversations went from the plan to put in a left-sided device of some sort to a plan to put in one of these temporary biventricular devices where she would have a heart pump sitting on her abdomen outside of the body but wouldn't be able to go home, to finally the total artificial heart. So the day before we did this, I came in to talk to her. We called her husband on the phone and had an initial conversation that I thought we really weren't going to be able to get by with anything short of the total artificial heart. And we had her husband come in from work, and we sat in the ICU and talked about this. And I explained to her what the difference was. And I think Kathleen got it, but her husband got it more because they said, you know, we're going to cut your heart out. And so pumps onto the cuffs of what's left of your heart. There is no going back. There's no taking this out. The only route to fixing that problem is a new heart. And Kathleen also has some antibody levels in her bloodstream that make it difficult to find a match for the heart transplant. So that was another reason why we knew we were probably going to have mechanical circulatory support for a long time, because it would take us a while to find a heart that would match her immunologically.
In terms of this technology, because such surgeries are so rare, is it known how long a patient can survive with the total artificial heart replacement?
Well, the technology and the durability of the equipment is, you know, valves that are built to beat for 50 years without structural deterioration. We wouldn't expect that. But we would expect that these devices can go for a year to 2 years and maybe 3 years. The longest that patients have had these in are in the 2 to 3 year range, not really by design, but because they weren't able to get transplanted for one reason or another. But it is definitely a temporary solution. Even though she's out of heart failure now and she's going shopping and enjoying her family, I mean, you can still see that she's encumbered with a lot of heavy equipment that she has to push around, and she knows every minute that she's utterly dependent on hearing the sound of that those four valves, which you can clearly hear, pushing blood through the right, then to the left, and then out to the body.
What would you like to see happen in, say, the next 5 years in terms of these devices, their development, and being able to treat patients?
Well, I'd like to see us have an implantable miniaturized device that could go on the right and left side. That'd be number one. Number two, I'd like to see that we mobilize this country, find ways to increase and maximize organ donor availability so that no potential heart that can be transplanted is not offered for transplant. Obviously, that's a decision for a potential donor and a family, but we can each make a decision right now to have our driver's license indicate that we want to be an organ donor. We can discuss those things with our family members so they know that if my family knows if I'm in an incapacitating accident and can't speak for myself and can't survive, that I would like to pass on my heart and my liver and lungs and kidneys on to extend life in another individual. We definitely need to maximize the possibility for heart transplantation for these patients. So those would be the two things. I'm a transplant surgeon, so I like to do organ replacement therapy with a transplant. If we can't do that, then we have these mechanical devices, which are great, but it's not the same as having an actual organ replace the organ that's failed in your body.
Dr. Robert Love, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thanks for having me here.
Dr. Robert Love is a heart transplant surgeon at Froedtert Hospital in the Medical College of Wisconsin. He spoke with Stephanie Lecce as part of our three-part series on heart failure. Tomorrow on the show, the series concludes with the experience of Kathleen Shores, one heart failure patient who received a total heart replacement. A quick break now, and then some changes for people filing jobless claims in Wisconsin. We'll learn more when we return on Milwaukee Public Radio.